the podcast from Belmont Chapel in Exeter, sharing the story, living the life. For more information, go to belmontchapel.org.uk.
Hello, good evening. My name is Veit Glasberg, and I'm a German guy, and I'm married with Alexandra. She sits over there. Tomorrow, 18 years. It's unbelievable, but it's a long time. We've got 4 children, and the last 12 years, I've worked as a youth pastor all over Germany. And at the moment, I make a 4-month sabbatical and stay in the UK with my family. It's a great adventure. A few years ago, I met John Allen in Germany because he was a speaker at our youth conference. And I asked him if it's possible to make an internship at Belmont. And John said, sure, it is. And so I have spent the last 4 weeks as an intern here at Belmont. And brothers and sisters, let me say this. You are a big and a vibrant church. I think God has given you not just one talent, and God has given you not just the 2 talents. God has given you 5 talents. That's great. That's great to see. And also, you have a great responsibility. And my prayer is, and I promise you that I pray for that, that you as a church continues to live in this responsibility. You have allowed to speak me tonight. Thank you very much. It's a great experience for me. Not only because I preach the first time in English, also I hope that God will speak to you through his word. The next 10 weeks, we are going to talk about the fruits of the Spirit. And this is a great theme. Every follower of Jesus got the Holy Spirit. And every follower of Jesus wants to bring good fruits. In the very moment when we give our life to Jesus and became a Christian, the Spirit of Jesus comes into our lives, and it's like a miracle. And he wants to change our life step by step and make our life more like the life of Jesus. And normally we want to grow. Every Christian wants to grow. Every normal Christian. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to bear good fruits. We want to think like Jesus. We want to serve like Jesus. We want to act like Jesus. We want to laugh like Jesus. And we want to know Jesus more and more. You can say we are on fire for Jesus. If that's your wish, then you have come to the right place tonight. But sometimes there are periods in our lives that we don't want to be like Jesus. Following Jesus seems very strange. Sometimes it seems curious. Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it's tiring. And sometimes we are in the deep dark valley and not on the sunny meadow. And even if your relationship to Jesus looks like this at the moment, you are on the right place tonight. Because you could renew your relationship with Jesus. Every time you have the chance to light your fire again for Jesus. And I think these situations also know the early Christians in Galatians. The letter from Paul helps us to understand how to live a life like Jesus, how to live the Jesus lifestyle. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 22 to 26, this. I show you a little film, but you can read it also in your Bible. Chapter 5, verse 22 to 26.
It's time for Bible notes. So the other day I learned about the tastiest fruit in the world.
There's no picture.
It's time for Bible notes. The cliff. So the other day I learned about the tastiest fruit in the world. Now you might be wondering what kind of fruit I'm talking about. Was it an apple? Or an orange? Was it a bunch of bananas? Or grapes? Or was it that strange-looking tame but wonderful fruit from New Zealand. No, it's none of those, and it's also not part of the latest diet fad. What I'm talking about are 9 qualities that the Bible calls the fruit of the Spirit, and there's something every Christian should try to learn and apply in his life. So what are these 9 qualities, and why should I learn them? Well, I'm glad you asked. You see, if you're a Christian, you need to get rid of everything that is the opposite of how God would want you to live. Instead of showing hatred, show love. Instead of being mean, be kind. In the book of Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25, it tells us exactly what these 9 fruits are. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now I know it sounds like a lot, and no one is perfect, but if we continue to read God's Word and pray for His guidance every day, we'll get closer to a life that is perfectly pleasing to Him. Until next time, this has been Bible Notes with me, Cliff. See ya!
So this was the easiest part of the preaching, because I don't need to learn vocabulary for this part. Tonight, we talk about the basics for bringing good fruits. And next week, we talk about the rotten fruits. And after that, we talk 7 evenings about the good fruits. So what is the basics? What is the soil for good fruits? How can we live a life like Jesus? What is a Christian lifestyle? Let's look how the situation in the church in Galatia was. Paul founded the church a few years before he sent this letter. They had a brilliant start, and they lived very closely by Jesus. They wanted to be good Christians. They lived with the Holy Spirit. But then something must happen. Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Why must Paul wrote this? That's why. He said, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law, or by believing what your heart heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing?" Wow, that sounds hard. And it's not only my accent. It sounds very hard. This is very straightforward. Okay, I'm a German, and I also come from the Ruhr district in Germany. And in this region, people are very direct. So I love to be direct. But I think Paul is very blunt here, isn't it? There must be some very bad things happened. Of course, the Galatians have a good start. They receive God's grace. But then a few people came into the church and said, the grace is not enough. You must do more for your salvation. Didn't Paul talk about the law to you? The law is very important for new Christians. You must be circumcised. You cannot eat longer everything. Pork isn't good for you. And look, there are some important dates. You must celebrate these dates. It's important for you because only when you fulfill God's holy law, God will save you then. And only then God loves you because you do what he wants. And the Galatian thought, wow, this sounds good. Perhaps it's even a little safer to do something more for my salvation than just receive the grace. It feels good. Let's do it. It cannot hurt. Do you know such thoughts? I know such thoughts. Sometimes it seems better to have something like a collection account in heaven. I want to collect points, like the Nectar card from Sainsbury. Everybody asks me if I have a Nectar card. And I say, no, I have just German cards. But it's not good for England. We thought if we do good things, for example, we go every Sunday to church, maybe to every service, at the 9:30, at the 10 a.m., at the 11:30, and at the 18:30, then we get points. And if I read the Bible every day, I get more points. And if I work in a church as a volunteer, I get extra points. That sounds great, right? Or sometimes I think Jesus loved me more after I read my Bible. And if I don't read my Bible, Jesus loves me less. So I better read my Bible. It's safer. I better pray 10 minutes than 5 minutes every day. It's safer. Jesus loves me more. I know these thoughts. And I call it the Jesus Plus system. Jesus Plus service. Jesus Plus quiet time. Jesus Plus no alcohol. Jesus Plus no smoking. Jesus Plus every other thing. Jesus Plus seems better for salvation. But this thinking is nonsense. It's nonsense. Smoking isn't good. Yeah. That's not what I say. Yeah. But it's not Jesus Plus no smoking. That's nonsense. And the other problem of the Galatians was that some people couldn't handle their freedom. Some people recognize that they only have been saved by grace. So they think, because I have been saved by grace, I could do everything I want. Hey, great! I could still sin. And some sins are very attractive. That's a problem with sin. Sin is normally very attractive. The fruit at the tree in Eden, it was not an awful fruit. It was a great fruit. It seems very attractive. And because there's enough grace, let's sin. The grace is for free, isn't it? So let's paint the town red. I learned this phrase. Who paid for the fourth round of pints? Look, what an interesting website with naked people. And so on. The grace is for free. Do you know such thoughts? I know. Sometimes I don't fight enough against my sin or the sin in my life. And this is not good. Paul argues against such thoughts in Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say? He writes. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We did to sin, how can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead for the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in this death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. By the way, this Bible passage is a good argument to get baptized. These two things were in Galatians a problem. But there was a third thing. Normally, we hate such kind of thoughts. And so we make borders. We won't live such a lifestyle. So we better forbid everything. Every kind of alcohol, except the wine by the communion. Some people throw the televisions and the computers out of their houses. because maybe there is a problem. And it's better to live a boring and a gray life. We live very carefully because we want to do nothing against God's will. So we have better more rules than fewer rules. In Germany, we say some Christians go in the cellar if they want to laugh. You understand? No? In the cellar, yes. At the basement, sorry. Some Christians go in the basement if they want to laugh. Laugh, ha ha ha, not laugh. Ah, my accent, yeah, you get it. Great. So nobody can see it, it's better, yeah? And we also must like a watchman in our church that there is no evil, no laugh, no dance. Tomorrow we heard about dance in Kenya. No clapping hands. But is this a really Jesus lifestyle? I don't think so. These are the three problems of the church in Galatians. So we must learn, and also the Galatians must learn to handle their freedom in Christ. We must learn to live in freedom without the law, only by the grace of God. And this is difficult. This is a process. And sometimes we forget it and struggle. And that's why Paul gave us some very important information in this letter. Let's read. Oh, one moment. I read it. It's Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 15. Galatians chapter 5, 13 to 15. He writes, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." These thoughts from Paul seems very deep and complex to me. I tried very hard to understand him. I want to share my insights with you, and here's a little overview. In verse 13, Paul writes, "Use of freedom in a good way." This is the theme of verse 13. Use of freedom in a good way. In 13 and 18, and also before this text, Paul's write about bondage. Try to serve the freedom with the law. Try to serve the freedom with the law. Then he wrote about misuse of freedom, personality misuse. We talk about next week. And also we write about misuse of freedom against the neighbor. We talk about tonight. And then he said there's something to do. Live in love and in a relationship. And then he taught, wrote, fight for freedom against the flesh through the Holy Spirit. And then there is a sharp warning. Don't sin. And I write muttering through the thoughts of Paul, because they are very deep thoughts. Tonight we talk about the bold furthest. Next week we will talk about the other ones. "You, my brothers, were called to be free, but not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve another in love." Paul writes that we were called to be free. But what kind of freedom is it? Paul mentions in his letter a few words before that everyone needs freedom. Freedom from sin and guilt, and freedom from the law that shows us our sin and guilt. The Old Testament law told us what we have to do and what we have not to do. And the law is so strict that every person must break the law. Paul says that our sinful nature can't hold the law. So the law shows us that we all need forgiveness of our sins. And the only way is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The law of Moses was just an interim solution. An interim solution. Paul writes this earlier in Galatians 3, verse 22. And Jesus Christ, Paul says, is the fulfiller of the Old Testament law, of the whole law. And he wrote, everyone who is in Christ is a new creature, and he is free. Paul says this in Galatians 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm. Then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. 23 years ago, something unbelievable happened in Europe. In Eastern Germany and some other Eastern European countries, people go out to the street and shout for freedom. A few years earlier, the Russian leader Mikhail Gorbachev started a liberal politics in the Soviet Union. This was the beginning of a new epoch in Europe and in Germany too. Also for the UK, over 15,000 British soldiers come back home from the continent after 1990. The Cold War was over. In every Eastern Europe country and in Germany, you could feel the spirit of freedom and liberty. That was a great time for me. I was a young man, 18 years old, and I fell in love with Alexandra. And also, I felt the pulse of history like I never have been felt it before and thereafter. But the freedom was also a big challenge for every country in Europe, particularly for Germany and for the Soviet Union. Every country had to manage the freedom. Every country had to manage the freedom. It was not easy. Some countries found a good way, like Germany. 1 year after the fall of the wall, we celebrated the German reunion. On next Wednesday, this is 22 years ago. Here are some pictures of this time. It's the Brandenburger Tor in Berlin. It was a great day for Germans, of course. But other countries struggled, like Yugoslavia. There was a great and crucial war, a long time. They can't manage the freedom. Some countries have struggled till today. In Belarus, it's a part of the Soviet Union, we have a dictator now. Every country must find its own way to manage the freedom. And some ways were good, and other ways were very bad. To manage freedom is very difficult, because you must define freedom. And you must define the place where freedom is. If you define this bad, then you have a dictatorship or an anarchy. Freedom is a risk. Sometimes you must jump into the freedom. And this is similar to our lives. We were called to be free. The wall of sin is fallen down. We are free of sin. We got the Holy Spirit. And now we must use this freedom. But our sinful nature wants to misuse the freedom. We want to sin again because sin seems attractive. Our sinful nature wants to fill the freedom and wants to rule over our freedom like a dictator. But the misuse of Christian freedom is like to spit in the face of Jesus. Paul warns us, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Our new nature fight against our old nature. This fight can be horrible. We can only win this fight with the Holy Spirit. We talk about next week. However, Paul shows us a better way to use our freedom. He shows us that we are free to love. Freedom is where love is. Love guarantees freedom. Paul says, you need no law. The law is good, but it's not good for life. Only the love is good for life. So he challenged us to manage our freedom in Christ. And Paul forbid us to manage the freedom with the law, and he forbid us to exploit the freedom. Instead, he shows us a third way, a life that roots in a relationship. We have a relationship to Jesus and to our brothers and sisters. This is a big difference to live in a relationship or to live under a law. And so we can say, love each other. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. This sounds like the Jesus lifestyle, isn't it? Loving, serving, doing good things, loving each other, loving your enemy. This is the fruit in the Spirit, indeed. The fact that we are free means responsibility for our life. Freedom is responsibility. This is a responsibility to serve. This is like Jesus, he was washing the feet of the disciples. Also, he was the Lord and King of all heavens. And Jesus said, as he washed the feet, "Know that I, your Lord and Savior, have washed your feet. You also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Know that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." We are free to do the work of love. We are free to serve and to love our neighbor. And this could be the man who crossed my path next. And in this case, he said, we fulfill the law. And this sounds paradox, isn't it? Paul just said that we were free from the law, and now he says that we fulfill the law through love. So do we need the law yet again? What does he mean? I think Jesus set us free from the law because he fulfilled the law. But the law describes God's will. And God's will is love because God is pure love. The scholar Ronald Funk says this: in other words, the believer who is free from the law is at the same time one who fulfills the law. Only the way he fulfills the law is not by, I can't spell it, observing the rules and regulations of an external code, but by the new way of love, which is generated within the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. We do things of love, and also we fulfill the love. And of course, it does mean the ceremonial law too, because Jesus is a great sacrifice. So we must understand again that we don't need the law anymore. The law robs the freedom. The law told us what to do and what not to do. It is like a fence, and our sinful nature wants to climb over the fence. But Jesus said that we have to walk close to him. We are on the good way with Jesus. We are not by the fence. We live in a relationship near, close by Jesus. We have a relationship to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We are on the way with Jesus. We are on his side. We are not alone. We go together with our brothers and sisters. So he said, finished the dispute. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. It seems that the atmosphere was not the best in the churches in Galatians. Paul is a realist. He knows the conflicts are possible in every human communion, or not. How is it in an English church? I'm just here since 5 weeks and I can't judge whether it is so at Belmont. Do you have sometimes bit and devour each other? In Germany, we do this sometimes. However, not in reality, but just with words. I can tell you. But I learned that English people are very polite. Yes, everybody says to me. So I can't imagine how you bid and devour, or is there a polite way to do this? I don't know. Anyway, it's a challenge for everyone. It's a challenge for everyone to be kind to our brothers and sisters, which we see every week, maybe every day. And we see us for a long time sometimes. We know each other perhaps 20 or 30 years. And of course, in such a long time, we will be guilty to each other. We know how we can provoke each other. We know the weaknesses of each other. And we know the life standards of each other. And maybe Paul thinks about this fact when he mentions some behaviors on the end of this section. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. It's a challenge. But there's another last truth. In churches which are very lawfully, there's a tendency of biting and devouring. And sometimes the brethren movement is very lawfully. The German Baptist scholar Adolf Pohl writes in his commentary about these verses, especially in statutory circles, we found this kind of theological knife fight. Such unrefined methods. Let us take verse 26 too. Boasting to get personal, inability to hold an objective discussion. The superior calls for a showdown. The loser is embittered. In the end, everybody has lust. I think he's right. In German churches. I don't know. Maybe in English churches too. So if there is some biting and devouring in my or in your church, let's stop it. It comes from our sinful nature, but we were called to be free. So we learned many things tonight, and I know it was very complicated to hear my accent, but thank you for this. The scripture challenges us, but this is what we want. We want to bring good fruits, and if we really want it, we cannot bypass the cross, never ever. We cannot go over the cross and take the law in our hands because our old ego needs more safety than just only the grace. It's forbidden, Paul said. Jesus fulfills the law, so we don't need the law anymore, just grace. And we can't go under the cross because our old ego wants to live in a selfish way and do sinful things. It's forbidden. Paul said, Jesus called us to be free from sin and from the law. No, we are servants of love. We are free to love each other and to bear good fruits. We need to understand that we live in a relationship close to Jesus Christ. We are on the way with Jesus. We live not in a religion. We are not just a denomination. We are not just a part of the Christendom with some cultural habits or so. We don't must to do this and that. We want to do this and that because we are live in a lively relationship with Jesus. We are close to Jesus. We are in love with Jesus. We felt in love with Jesus, and so we want to live as a follower. We have called to live in freedom. We have called to live in love. This is a great call, and this is the basis. This is the soil on which good fruit will grow. If we don't have the soil and live life by ourselves, we will bring rotten fruit. Next week we are talking about this. And we also see that a Jesus lifestyle means to live with the Holy Spirit. Amen.